am nearly as fast as the speed of light, which was why their light never reached us. I like this fact. It is something you can work out in your own mind just by looking at the sky above your head at night and thinking without having to ask anyone. And when the universe has finished exploding, all the stars will slow down, like a ball that has been thrown into the air, and they will come to a halt, and they will all begin to fall toward the center of the universe again. And then there will be nothing to stop us from seeing all the stars in the world, because they will all be moving toward us, gradually faster and faster. And we will know that the world is going to end soon, because when we look up into the sky at night, there will be no darkness, just the blazing light of billions and billions of stars, all falling. Page 11. Except that no one will see this, because there will be no people left on the earth to see it. They will probably have become extinct by then. And even if there are people still in existence, they will not see it because the light will be so bright and hot that everyone will be burned to death, even if they live in tunnels. 19. Chapters in books are usually given the cardinal numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. But I have decided to give my chapters prime numbers 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, and so on, because I like prime numbers. This is how you work out what prime numbers are. First, you write down all the positive whole numbers in the world. And there's a little diagram of a block of squares. In each square, there's a number. They go in rows. The first row is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Second row, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Third row, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Fourth row, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Last row, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. And in the last block, it says etc. Text. Then you take away all the numbers that are multiples of 2. Then you take away all the numbers that are multiples of 3. Then you take away all the numbers that are multiples of 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and so on. The numbers that are left are the prime numbers. Page 12. There's another diagram of a block of squares. These would be the prime numbers. And in the first row, reading left to right, we have 2, 3, 5, 7. Second row, 11, 13, 17, 19. Third row, 23, 29. Fourth row, 31, 37. Last row, 41, 43, 47, etc. Text. The rule for working out prime numbers is really simple, but no one has ever worked out a simple formula for telling you whether a very big number is a prime number or what the next one will be. If a number is really, really big, it can take a computer years to work out whether it is a prime number. Prime numbers are useful for writing codes, and in America, they are classed as military material. And if you ever find one over 100 digits long, you have to tell the CIA, and they buy it off you for $10,000. But it would not be a very good way of making a living. Prime numbers are what is left when you have taken all the patterns away. I think prime numbers are like life. They are very logical, but you could never work out the rules, even if you spent all your time thinking about them. 23. When I got to the police station, they made me take the laces out of my shoes and empty my pockets at the front desk, in case I had anything in them that I could use to kill myself or escape or attack a policeman with. Page 13. The sergeant behind the desk had very hairy hands, and he had bitten his nails so much that they bled. This is what I had in my pockets. 1. A Swiss Army knife with 13 attachments, including a wire stripper and a saw and a toothpick and tweezers. 2. A piece of string. 3. A piece of a wooden puzzle, which will look like this. And there's a row of blocks which look like they might interlock with something. Text. 4. 3 pellets of rat food for Toby, my rat. 5. 1.47 pounds. This was made up of a 1-pound coin, a 20-pence coin, 2 10-pence coins, a 5-pence coin, and a 2-pence coin. 6. A red paper clip. 7. A key for the front door. I was also wearing my watch, and they wanted me to leave this at the desk as well, but I said that I needed to keep my watch on because I needed to know exactly what time it was. And when they tried to take it off me, I screamed, so they let me keep it on. They asked me if I had any family. I said I did. They asked me who my family was. I said it was father, but mother was dead. And I said it was also Uncle Terry, but he was in Sunderland, and he was father's brother, and it was my grandparents, too. But three of them were dead, and Grandma Burton was in a home because she had senile dementia and thought that I was someone on television. Page 14. Then they asked me for father's phone number. I told them that he had two numbers, one for at home and one which was a mobile phone, and I said both of them. It was nice in the police cell. It was almost a perfect cube, 2 meters long by 2 meters wide by 2 meters high. It contained approximately 8 cubic meters of air. It had a small window with bars and, on the opposite side, a metal door with a long, thin hatch near the floor for sliding trays of food into a cell, and a sliding hatch higher up so that policemen could look in and check that prisoners hadn't escaped or committed suicide. There was also a padded bench. I wondered how I would escape if I was in a story. It would be difficult because the only things I had were my clothes and my shoes, which had no laces in them. I decided that my best plan would be to wait for a really sunny day and then use my glasses to focus the sunlight on a piece of my clothing and start a fire. I would then make my escape when they saw the smoke and took me out of the cell. And if they didn't notice, I would be able to wee on the clothes and put them out. I wondered whether Mrs. Shears had told the police that I had killed Wellington and whether, when the police found out that she had lied, she would go to prison. Because telling lies about people is called slander. 29. I find people confusing. This is for two main reasons. The first main reason is that people do a lot of talking without using any words. Saban says that if you raise one eyebrow, it can mean lots of different things. Page 15. It can mean, I want to do sex with you. And it can also mean, I think that what you just said was very stupid. Saban also says that if you close your mouth and breathe out loudly through your nose, it can mean that you are relaxed or that you are bored or that you are angry. And it all depends on how much air comes out of your nose and how fast and what shape your mouth is when you do it and how you are sitting and what you said just before and hundreds of other things which are too complicated to work out in a few seconds. The second main reason is that people often talk using metaphors. These are examples of metaphors. I laughed my socks off. He was the apple of her eye. They had a skeleton in the cupboard. We had a real pig of a day. The dog was stone dead. The word metaphor means carrying something from one place to another, and it comes from the Greek words meta, which means from one place to another, and perig, which means to carry, and it is when you describe something by using a word for something that it isn't. This means that the word metaphor is a metaphor. I think it should be called a lie, because a pig is not like a day, and people do not have skeletons in their cupboards. And when I try and make a picture of the phrase in my head, it just confuses me, because imagining an apple in someone's eye doesn't have anything to do with liking someone a lot, and it makes you forget what the person was talking about. Page 16. My name is a metaphor. It means carrying Christ, and it comes from the Greek words Christos, which means Jesus Christ, and perig, and it was the name given to Saint Christopher because he carried Jesus Christ across a river. This makes you wonder what he was called before he carried Jesus Christ across the river. But he wasn't called anything because this is an apocryphal story, which means that it is a lie too. Mother used to say that it meant Christopher was a nice name because it was a story about being kind and helpful. But I do not want my name to mean a story about being kind and helpful. I want my name to mean me. 31. It was 1:12 a.m. when Father arrived at the police station. I did not see him until 1:28 a.m., but I knew he was there because I could hear him. He was shouting, "I want to see my son," and, "Why the hell is he locked up?" and, "Of course I'm bloody angry." Then I heard a policeman telling him to calm down. Then I heard nothing for a long while. At 1:28 a.m., a policeman opened the door of the cell and told me that there was someone to see me. I stepped outside. Father was standing in the corridor. He held up his right hand and spread his fingers out like a fan. I held up my left hand and spread my fingers out in a fan. And we made our fingers and thumbs touch each other. We do this because sometimes Father wants to give me a hug, but I do not like hugging people. So we do this instead. And it means that he loves me. Then the policeman told us to follow him down the corridor to another room. In the room was a table and three chairs. Page 17. He told us to sit down on the far side of the table, and he sat down on the other side. There was a tape recorder on the table, and I asked whether I was going to be interviewed, and he was going to record the interview. He said, "I don't think there will be any need for that." He was an inspector. I could tell because he wasn't wearing a uniform. He also had a very hairy nose. It looked as if there were two very small mice hiding in his nostrils. Footnote 2. This is not a metaphor. It is a simile, which means that it really did look like there were two very small mice hiding in his nostrils. And if you make a picture in your head of a man with two very small mice hiding in his nostrils, you will know what the police inspector looked like. And a simile is not a lie, unless it is a bad simile. Text. He said, "I have spoken to your father, and he says that you didn't mean to hit the policeman." I didn't say anything because this wasn't a question. He said, "Did you mean to hit the policeman?" I said, "Yes." He squeezed his face and said, "But you didn't mean to hurt the policeman." I thought about this and said, "No, I didn't mean to hurt the policeman. I just wanted him to stop touching me." Then he said, "You know that it is wrong to hit a policeman, don't you?" I said, "I do." He was quiet for a few seconds. Then he asked, "Did you kill the dog, Christopher?" I said, "I didn't kill the dog." He said, "Do you know that it is wrong to lie to a policeman and that you can get into a very great deal of trouble if you do?" Page 18. I said, "Yes." He said, "So, do you know who killed the dog?" I said, "No." He said, "Are you telling the truth?" I said, "Yes, I always tell the truth." And he said, "Right. I am going to give you a caution." I asked, "Is that going to be on a piece of paper, like a certificate I can keep?" He replied, "No, a caution means that we are going to keep a record of what you did, that you hit a policeman, but that it was an accident and that you didn't mean to hurt the policeman." I said, "But it wasn't an accident." And Father said, "Christopher, please." The policeman closed his mouth and breathed out loudly through his nose and said, "If you get into any more trouble, we will take out this record and see that you have been given a caution, and we will take things much more seriously. Do you understand what I'm saying?" I said that I understood. Then he said that we could go. And he stood up and opened the door, and we walked out into the corridor and back to the front desk, where I picked up my Swiss Army knife and my piece of string and the piece of the wooden puzzle and the three pellets of rat food for Toby and my 1.47 pounds and the paper clip and my front door key, which were all in a little plastic bag. And we went out to Father's car, which was parked outside, and we drove home. Page 19. Number 37. I do not tell lies. Mother used to say that this was because I was a good person. But it is not because I am a good person. It is because I can't tell lies. Mother was a small person who smelled nice. and she sometimes wore a fleece with a zip down the front, which was pink, and it had a tiny label which said Berghaus on the left bosom. A lie is when you say something happened which didn't happen.